Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, last couple of weeks on the Paracast, we have kind of moved away from our traditional UFO orientation. But now, they're back, or we're back, or someone's back. We have Colin Saunders, and he has a book out here called Triangular UFOs of the United Kingdom, as published by our good friends Fine Disc Press. Of course, we thank Philip Mandel for coming out with so many terrific books. Now, before we get started, Colin, I first want to welcome you to the Paracast. But we, in our forum back in 2007, set up a Black Triangles forum. This was done by a guy named Tom Levine, who was no longer participating in the forum, sorry to say, or at least I guess he's aware of us, but doesn't do it anymore. But I thought here we'd look first at the consideration. I assume when he said black triangles, he was meaning any triangles about UFOs. Now, before we get started, Colin, into the book, how did you get interested in chasing the flying saucers, as they say?
Well, it all came about by a close encounter with a triangle. Prior to the encounter, I'd got no great interest in UFOs. I wasn't a member of any UFO societies or clubs or went to any conferences, for instance. I had previously worked in the aircraft industry, so I'd obviously got an interest in aviation. I worked in Germany and Sweden for quite a few years on different aircraft as an avionics design draftsman. So basically, I'll go through what happened on the night, and that is what kicked off my interest in the triangular UFOs. So basically, it was 1999, the 31st of March, 1999. So tomorrow is the anniversary, 24 years ago. We'd been out for a meal in the countryside, a little English country pub called the White Lion in a village called Paleton. And there was two cars. My wife was driving the first car, and we've got my mother-in-law in there. It was her birthday that day. She was 72. And we've got my daughter as well. She was in the car, and I was in the back as a passenger. My wife was driving. The second vehicle, a Range Rover, had got some French people that were visiting. My brother-in-law was driving the Range Rover, and the French people were quite old, but they came over because he'd got a French partner. So we all went out in two vehicles to the pub for the meal. Now, when we left, I remember as we drove off in the first car with my wife driving, I remember turning around and seeing the old lady struggling to get into the Range Rover. So we pulled off ahead expecting them to catch us up on the journey home. We drove through the country lanes and we came to a road called the Foss Way. Now the Foss Way is an old Roman road. It's a dead straight road and it leads up to another Roman road called the Rotland Street, and they join at a place called High Cross, which is only a few miles from where we saw the UFO. So as we came through the countryside, through the pitch black dark lanes, we came up to the Foss Way. Now somebody said, well, we're turning on to the Foss now. And my daughter said, oh, there's been talk of headless horsemen down here. We all laughed, had a chuckle and said, we'll keep our eyes open for him. Then as soon as we turned the corner onto the Foss Way, right in front of us, half a mile away, just off the height of the road, were some lights flashing away. Brilliant red lights with a bit of white light mingled in, and straight away we're all saying, what on earth's that? There are no lights on the way down the Foss Way. There's no street lights on this road. It's completely dark and in the middle of nowhere. We all said, it's too low to be an aeroplane and too many lights for a helicopter. So we drove up. It was exactly half a mile from where we turned onto the Foss Way to where the lights were hovering by the side of the road. Now we pulled up underneath the lights. I would say they were 100 feet away. I always say to people, I base that on steering my friend's narrowboat around the canals here in England. The now boat is 70 foot long. I could have hit him with a cricket ball, they were that close. But at this point, there was no craft. So we'd stopped the car, and me and my mother-in-law and my daughter were staring at the lights when I noticed that the sky started to ripple around the lights. My word, there's something there. There's actually a craft around the lights. It's not just lights suspended in the sky. As soon as I noticed that, it decloaked, just like on Star Trek, where the ship's there, decloak and become a solid object. This is what happened around the lights. It decloaked and became a metal, a metallic, solid object, a triangle. The rear end we were staring at the rear end of the craft. There were four big red lights at the back, and they were not parallel to the Earth. They were tilted at an angle of about 30 degrees. And then as soon as it became solid, the nose rose up in the air like a stallion rearing up in front of you, which then gave us a view of the top of the craft. Now, the craft was that low, if it had turned from the middle, it would have struck the ground at the rear end. So the rear end stayed where it was, and the nose floated up in the air. But the movement was like an airship, like a submarine underwater. The way it floated up was beautiful to see. And then, the top surface, it looked like it was alive. The thing looked like it was organic, even though it was clearly manufactured. The surface had got like a liquid effect running up and down. Like, the way I describe it, it was looking like a lake of water at night with moonlight shining on it. There's a slight ripple, and the moonlight's catching some of the waves. It gives that sort of movement 3D effect. Well, that's the surface of the craft, looked like that. But on top of that were these girders that were turning through 90 degrees and interlocking with each other, like an old-fashioned maze in an English country garden. And it was just absolutely incredible to see. Three thoughts come to me straight away. First one was, my God, aliens exist. The second one was, this explains all the things that have happened in history. And the third one was, abductions must take place. All of those things came to my mind as the craft rose up in front of us. There was some high strangeness occurred at this point, but I think we'll come back to that in a little while. For the time being, we'll just stick with the nuts and bolts of the sighting. I did that for the first probably 20 years of the experience when I talked about what we'd seen. I always talked about the nuts and bolts, and I didn't really touch on the high strangeness on the paranormal side of it. But as time's gone on, I've started to talk more about what happened and what happened after the craft, after the experience, the close encounter. So going back to the night, once the craft had reared up in front of us, this magnificent object, my wife, who was driving and is very sensible, decided to pull forward and reverse into a gateway to get off the main road, even though there was no traffic. Now, the problem was, as she pulled forward, there was a big hedge, and it blocked the view. And I thought to myself, oh, no, if it's going to go, it's going to go now. She reversed into the gateway. We jumped out. Sure enough, it had gone. There was no sign of it at all. And there was no smell of any aviation fuel or anything along those lines. Now, I looked into the sky, and going away in the distance, there was the biggest flying craft I've ever seen. Bearing in mind, I've worked in the aircraft industry, and I've been to quite a few air shows over the years. Now, this big craft that was going away got four red lights on the back again, the same sort of configuration that was on the small craft. And because I knew nothing about UFOs, I thought it had suddenly grown, like it had changed and morphed from the small one into the big one, because everything that was happening was just so surreal and so weird that it sort of thought, oh, you know, anything could happen at the moment. So we stood there, watched that go away, and you could hear a pin drop. It was really quiet, and there were no other craft in the sky. But then one or two cars started coming along, and aircraft back in the sky again, so we got back in the car. It was 9:50 p.m. We checked the watch. We don't know what time we left the pub exactly, so we don't know if there was any time loss. And then we drove home. Now, we took the mother-in-law back to where she lived. Now, my brother-in-law, who was behind us in the Range Rover, lives next door to my mother-in-law. When we arrived home, they was already there. And there was also, out of the Range Rover, in inside, having a cup of tea. And we found that really strange, how they managed to get back before us. Possibly they passed as well to us in the gateway. But if that had been the case, they would have seen the craft as well. So that was always a little bit of a mystery. So that was the main sighting. That's what happened 24 years ago. I have to say it was the most exciting moment of my life. And it's like imprinted on my mind. And I've thought about it every day since then. And it feels like it only happened yesterday. Once we got home, the first thing we did was to do some drawings. I've been a draftsman all my life, so it was quite obvious the first thing I needed to do was to draw the craft. And my daughter drew it as well.
Hey, we've got to break now with Colin and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Colin Saunders telling us about black triangles, but starting out, the story begins with his own site, and he tells us more. Go ahead, Colin.
Okay, so I was obviously gobsmacked by all of this. It was incredible. We'd done the drawings, and then at this point I'd started my own business and I was working from home, and I got a few people working for me, which was great because I couldn't concentrate. The next day although it was April Fool's Day, I was telling everybody about it, what we'd seen the night before, and I was just sitting doing drawings, doing sketches. I used Coral Draw to produce some nice images of the surface, the liquid surface, and the beams on top. Taking it a step further, I decided then to make some models. First of all, I made a simple paper model, but then I decided to make one out of plywood and a bit of doweling. So that was the first proper 3D one that I made, and I printed out the pictures from Coral Draw and put them onto the model, and it looked quite good. It was a valuable tool, if you like. But now, strangely enough, my van that I used for work got broken into one night on the driveway of my home, and they stole the old cassette player out of it. Now, I took the car to get fixed from the guy I bought the car from, and he said to me that the car had been professionally broken into, and he couldn't understand why somebody would do that to such an old vehicle and pinch a cassette player that wasn't worth anything. But it was like a few days later I realised that whoever took the cassette player also took the model. I know the last time I seen it, it was in the van. So that had disappeared. So I'd lost the model that I made. I didn't realise for a few days. I've been searching high and low for it. Now, over the years, it's never turned up. So it was definitely stolen on the night of the cassette player by somebody who got professional skills to break into the van. Then got me making my next model, the Mark II version. This time, I decided I would get some LEDs and a battery pack and wire it all up and make a more realistic model with flashing lights. Now, that was great, and I managed to get onto television here in the UK and talk to 3 million people live about the encounter and show the model, which was really neat. The model makes the whole sighting far more tangible. You know, rather than just talking about it, if you can show somebody a 3D model, it makes more sense what you're talking about. Along the way, my main concern was I didn't have the beams off the surface in 3D, which is like a printed flat piece of paper put onto the model. And a friend of mine out of the blue came round, John Mills, his name is. He bought himself a 3D printer, and he decided he wanted to make a model of my UFO, which was great. I couldn't believe he wanted to do that. And that would include the beams raised off the surface in three dimension, in relief, the girders on the top. So he manufactured one, and it was like quite small. It fitted in your hand, handheld size, but it got the lights at the back and lights underneath. The battery pack and all the rest of it. It was really good. And he'd done that free of charge, and he did say it was quite expensive to produce it, and he spent a lot of time actually getting the files together to print it. I suggested that I sell a few for him on a well-known auction site. But I said to him I didn't want any profit from it at all. I wanted to give everything I sold, I would give the money to John, and then in exchange, once we'd done enough, could he make me a large model that was in colour with the liquid surface and the different coloured beams. So he did that, and I've ended up with the A4 model, which is pretty much an exact copy of what we saw that night. It's got the liquid looking surface, it's got silver beams on top of that interlocking, it's got the white central core where the top and the bottom of the triangle joins onto the central core, and again it's got the lights that you can switch on and off, and I mean it really a beautiful model that he's made for me. And that model got me back into the UFO world. I tried to leave off it for a while, but I decided I'd go and do a presentation at a conference in Hull last year. Now, whilst I was there, I met a couple of guys, the Kinsella twins, and Philip suggested that I write a book. Now, I had sort of thought about that in the back of my mind, writing a book at some point, but never really got around to doing anything about it. But after speaking with Philip, I decided I'd have a go. So this is where the book came in. So I came back and started writing the book. Basically, over the years, I've collected a lot of sightings from people and a lot of information and met a lot of people. So I started to pull all that information into the book. I really wanted to write about my own experience, which I've done, and the high strangeness, which we'll get to. But once I'd written all that, there wasn't enough in there to make a book, so I had to bring in lots of other people's encounters. So in the book, there's actually over 130 different close encounters with triangles, where people are describing the colours, the colour of the lights, colour of the craft, etc. So there's an awful lot of information in the book, as well as the details of my own encounter. If we go back to the night of the encounter. This is the high strangeness. Like I say, for 24 years, for 20 years, I just talked about the nuts and bolts of the sighting and kept away from this other stuff because it was weird, but I started making notes and keeping dates about what was happening. So on the night, this is what happened. As the craft tilted up in the air, right in front of us, and the three thoughts came into my mind, all of a sudden, it was like somebody got a pair of binoculars and put them in front of my eyes, because I could see the craft really close, like right in front of me, 6 foot away. And the first view was the interlocking beams on the surface. The second image was the nose, and the nose, was the way it had been manufactured, it was so spherical, it was beautiful to look at. And then there was a third image, which was the side view, which showed the central white core, that the top and the bottom parts of the triangle joined onto the central white core. They sort of lipped over like a hovercraft skin. They sort of rounded over onto the white core. If anybody's seen any of my models on the internet, then you'll see what I mean about that. So there was three images close up that I had during the course of the encounter. Like I say, it was like somebody had suddenly put binoculars in front of my eyes. So the next day, I'm thinking about it, I mean, as if it wasn't weird enough as it was having the close encounter, but to have the close viewing as well. And I was telling the rest of them that I thought I'd had an out-of-body experience. That's all I could think was how I managed to get close to the craft, unless there was some sort of distortion due to magnetic fields or electronic distortion, but I don't think that was the case. Three images were absolutely crystal clear. So, for many years, I thought it was an out-of-body experience. I got books out of the library, read up about it, tried to do it again, but it never happened. I never did have another out-of-body experience. And I was quite happy with that. For a while, I was thinking, that means you can live without your body. It's like your soul or something has come out and got next to the craft. If that happened on the night, then maybe when you die, your soul moves to somewhere else. And it was quite comforting until I bumped into a guy called Bud Hopkins. Now, he came over to England and did a presentation at Leeds. And we used to have conferences there run by Graham Birdsall and Russell Callahan. They were fantastic conferences. There's some really good speakers there.
You know, before we get to the conferences, and I should tell you that we did know Bud Hopkins, not super well, but we had him on the show, and we always had a good association with him. We'll get more with Colin and Gene and Tim. You're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
USA News Update. At least 22 people are dead after tornadoes ripped across the Midwest and South on Friday. Officials confirmed the storm-related deaths took place from the same system in Arkansas, Alabama, Illinois, Indiana, and Mississippi. Former President Trump is expected to travel to New York City from Florida for his upcoming arraignment. Trump reportedly plans to fly to LaGuardia Airport on Monday evening and stay that night at Trump Tower before arriving in Lower Manhattan for Tuesday's planned court appearance. The Justice Department is suing Norfolk Southern Railway over the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The lawsuit alleges the railway company violated the Clean Water Act. The Final Four is down to two as UConn and San Diego State advance to the NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Me the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
So Colin Saunders telling us about his very super up close and personal encounter with the unknown and strange. Go ahead, please.
So at the conference, I managed to get to speak to Bud Hopkins. There was a queue of people waiting to chat to him, but I managed to get just a few seconds with him, really. I explained to Bob what took place on the night, the close encounter with the triangle, and I told him I thought I'd had an out-of-body experience, and I had three images, close-up views of the craft. And to be honest, without those close-up views, I would not have been able to have built such an accurate scale model. I needed those extra views, especially the side view, because from where we were sitting in the car, we didn't get to see the side of the craft. Just the rear and the top. The image of the side view of where the top and bottom rolled over and joined the central white core, I don't know at that moment how that got into my mind, but I would not have been able to build the craft without that view. And also, whilst I'm on that, there was no nuts and bolts, no rivets, no welding, there were no windows, nothing. The way it had been put together was absolutely incredible, absolutely marvellous. I was telling Bud about this and the fact that I thought I had an out-of-body experience, and Bud says, no, you've not had an out-of-body experience. Those are images placed in your mind by the aliens on board the craft. Now, before we got a chance to expand on that, this lady butted in with a crystal which she found in a forest where there'd been a UFO crash, and she wanted to talk to Bob about it. And Bob, being the gentleman that he was, started speaking to her, and that was the end of my 30 seconds with him. I went away and thought, well, that's a bit strange, right? How did that occur? Why would they do that? And I made a note of it, along with all the... I was starting to have some other paranormal experiences after the event, not before. And I was starting to keep a list of dates and what occurred. But also, on that particular document, I put down what Bud Hopkins had said about images being placed in my mind. So I started to have other strange things occur. I mean, initially we had some strange electrical faults at home. And somebody suggested that maybe they followed us back and scanned the house to see what our reaction was that night. And that would have caused the electrical interference with a loss of electrical appliances, which seemed to make sense, actually. It seemed quite a logical thing. But then, I guess because I was in a heightened state of feelings, and I was out looking for UFOs, and I was seeing things in the sky, and I was seeing lights that were turning through 90 degrees. I tried to visit on, but it would just disappear when I got a camera in my hand. And then I started to have some other weird experiences. I've listed them in the book. One of them, the most frightening one, I'll quickly tell you about. I was fishing. I love fishing. And I was standing in a river. I was actually in a fishing match here in England on the River Soar at Rothley in Leicestershire. But I was in a field on my own. It was only a small match, a club match. And I heard some footsteps coming across the field towards me. I know there's been some farm people down there, farm hands shooting. So I thought I'd go up onto the riverbank, make myself known, so they don't shoot in my direction. Now, when I got up there, there was no one there, but the noise continued. And these four footsteps, they were really quite loud, were coming towards me. And I started panicking. I was thinking it was a big cat. We have big cats out in the countryside here that have been released. So my first instinct was to get a spike that I use for my umbrella. I keep in the rod holder. I took that out as protection. And I thought, well, if it's a big cat, the only thing I can do is go back down the bank and get it to jump on me and impale it on its own weight. That was my game plan. That was going through my mind. I was that petrified. And I stood there with this metal spike. And whatever it was, walked right in front of me, but it was totally invisible. And nothing was moving. The grass wasn't moving. Nothing was moving. And it went off. It came from the left and went off toward the right. And as it went past, I started to get a bit braver. And I started clapping my hands. And then I was hitting the grass with the metal spike. But it just faded away. Nothing came out. There was nothing there. There was no animal. And I stood there and I thought, that was one of these weird space-time contingency things that you hear about, where something, you can hear something, but it's not actually here in our world. Now, prior to the UFO event, I'd had no experiences of paranormal whatsoever. Now, I was starting to have quite a few of these experiences, and they'd only come after the UFO. And it was pretty obvious to me that the UFO had done something to allow these things to come through. And that was the day, that very moment, once I realised that that was not a cat, that the UFO was dimensional, it was not extraterrestrial. If that craft had come a zillion light years to us and then gone away again, you would not expect to have other experiences. But what I've learned over the years is that the UFO experience is tied in with paranormal experiences. When we talk of ghosts and things like this, there is a connection there. And I was having all these weird things happen after the UFO event, so that made me firmly believe that that craft had come from another dimension, and somehow it had left a bit of residue with me.
I'm trying to understand the connection here, Colin. All right, you decided these were interdimensional. Why not interstellar, you know, possibly from a race that has their own version of a warp or wormhole drive to get here faster, whatever it is, why does it have to be interdimensional?
Because if you take, say, an Apollo going to the moon, and there's a little alien on the moon, sees the spaceship from Earth, once that spaceship left the moon and came back down to Earth, you would not expect that alien to start having weird experiences, because that craft is a solid object that's come from our own universe, from one planet to another, and gone back again. Now, because I was having to have paranormal experiences that I believe had come from the UFO, then that means there is a connection between those experiences and the craft as well. The craft has somehow allowed other things to come through. And they haven't all come from interstellar. These things are coming, I believe, from somewhere closer. I can only put down as another dimension. And that's the reason. I think if the craft had come from another galaxy many light years away, then why would you have extra experiences afterwards? Now, when I was doing the writing the book, people were writing to me with their experiences. I started to ask them if they'd had any other paranormal experiences. Now, more people were actually writing back and saying yes and telling me about some of the things that had occurred in their lives. Mainly prior to the UFO event, a lot of people seem to have paranormal experiences as a child, and as they get older, they end up having a UFO encounter, a close encounter. It seems to be the other way around with me, where I've had the encounter than some of the weird paranormal stuff after the encounter. The book does show to me that a lot of people that are having ghosts and weird things happen, as well as UFOs. So I now think, after all these years and everything I've researched, that there is definitely a connection between UFOs and the paranormal. So, Bud Hopkins, what happened was next. I kept in the back of my mind what Bud had said to me, but never really took it on board. Until one day, I had an email from a guy in America, funnily enough, and he seen me on the internet, seen me talking to Richard Hall on his TV show. And the email basically started off by saying, just like you, I had three images placed in my mind when I had a close encounter with a triangle. And he goes on to explain that he'd seen this light and he drove in his car and got close to it and it turned into a triangle. And whilst he was looking at it, it was a close encounter, he said exactly the same as me. He had three, funnily enough, three, not two or four, but three close images that were put into his mind. He said there were like two of them were outside views of the craft. One of them was pipe work, he thinks. Another one was some light bulbs, or some bulbs, some lights of some description. One said they were light bulbs. And a third image, which he thinks was inside of the craft. And he believes that, in his email, he was saying that he was thinking to himself, I need to remember all the details for later on for making notes of what I've seen. And he believes that the craft was trying to show him more details so that he could remember it. But it was at that point when I got that email from him that it was like a eureka moment. I thought, wow, yes. I've been listening to a lot of David Jacobs' work. He deals with a lot of abductees, and they talk about telepathy all of the time.
You know, all of the time we've got all these announcements to make, and then Colin, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So you met up with Bud Hopkins. You never met David Jacobson, Colin, right?
No. We did exchange a few emails and did chat with him. But basically, you know, I read a lot of his work, and what they were saying about telepathy between humans and aliens, in my naivety, I always thought that would be a conversation, like you'd be talking but inside your head to each other. But sometimes he was saying that it's images that are placed in people's heads rather than words. So telepathy can be pictures. Now, we all know a picture paints 1,000 words, so it makes sense sometimes to use telepathy, use images as telepathy. And once this guy from America had said, the same as you, I've had 3 images placed in my mind, all of a sudden I thought, wow, that now makes sense, actually. Because the 3 images were just images. There was nothing in between. So, like, from the nose to the side view, I didn't see the craft roll. It was like one image, then another image. It would make more sense then that those 3 images were actually placed in the mind rather than an out-of-body experience. Because if it had been an out-of-body experience, I would have assumed I'd see the craft roll from the nose to the side view and see it move rather than just have 3 stationary images. And that all sounds crazy, but like I say, for 20 years I've never talked about the weird side of this, but now I think as time's gone on and I'm getting older, I don't mind talking about this, and I think it's important. Certainly the amount of people who have written to me with their own experiences, they take some comfort in finding somebody else who's had strange experiences after a UFO encounter.
And with your research that you've been doing since your encounter, I mean, you now well know that a lot of people who have UFO experiences have a residual effect, for want of a better word. It's almost like you've been exposed to something that then opens you up to further experiences. It's hard for a lot of people to articulate because it's difficult for them to see the connection between, say, like their UFO encounter and then maybe weird noises in their house and things like that. But it's fascinating how many people share similar experiences to what you had.
Yes, an interesting fact as well is that it only happened to myself. It didn't happen to the other members of the family in the car, my wife, my daughter, and my mother-in-law. They didn't go on to have any extra experiences after the UFO event. It was only myself. Now, I did wonder along the way why that happened, and I'll put it down now to the fact that the images that were placed in my mind, the telepathy, either by aliens on board the craft or possibly even the craft itself, because the craft looked like it was alive, like it was organic, even though it was clearly manufactured. But maybe it was some sort of highly advanced AI that can interact with people. That's what occurred. And also, like you said, the residual effect, it only lasted for a couple of years, really, and then it started to fade away. You know, it's been a long time since I've had anything fantastic, but it really was quite intense for the first year or 18 months after the UFO event. So I am personally linking the two together, the paranormal and the UFO encounter. And again, like I say in the book, there's a whole section, a whole chapter on UFOs and the paranormal.
So you make the statement that you felt that it was alive somehow. What about it gave you that impression, or was it mostly just a, you know, in your gut type of feeling about it?
I think it was because the surface looked like it was moving.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like as it tilted up, the liquid on the surface was running from top to bottom all the time. So it wasn't like it was circulating from top to bottom, going round and round and round, rather than it just running dry, as it were. You know, so the waves were underneath it. It just, I guess the way they were shimmering made it look like it was alive. But, I mean, another thing to say is that as it rose in the air, I remember feeling, it's weird, but almost like a love and affection for it. It was just fantastic. It was like meeting God, even though I'm not a religious person. That's the only way I can sort of describe it. The feeling and to be in awe of the engineering, it was just incredible. And to realise that we're not alone and that aliens all of a sudden do exist, even though I've never been into it before, it was just such a fantastic feeling. It was beautiful. There was no being frightened of it or scared of it. The same with my mother-in-law. To be honest, I think me and her would have got on board if we'd got a chance. She wanted to get out as well. Now, that's a funny thing with the mother-in-law. She passed away during COVID, not from COVID, but she was well into her 80s then. And when they cleared out of the bedroom, she got all this paranormal paperwork inside a bag in the cupboard that she's been collecting over the years. So she's also had some sort of experiences in the past. I've got all that paperwork, and I'll read it some stage, probably when I retire and get a bit more time. But
by the way, it's nice you get along with your mother-in-law. Yeah. Not everyone does that.
No, and after the event as well, anything that was in the newspapers that she picked up on UFOs, she would cut it out and send it up to me to have a look at, because she knew I was getting really carried away with it by making the models and going to conferences, etc. So, yeah, she has obviously had some sort of experiences in the past, bless her.
Well, you know, other people have reported over the years with their encounters that they were left with the impression that the craft or, you know, whatever was very much aware that they were there observing it.
Yes.
Were you left with that as well?
I believe the craft was waiting for us. I think it was there. It was almost like an ambush in a way. I think the reason why the craft was tilted at an angle to the Earth is because as we were driving towards it, it would have been tilted towards us. Now, although there was no craft there at the time, just the lights, it would have made the lights more visible. So by tilting the craft towards us, we'd see the bottom white light, three red lights underneath, and we could also see the four red ones at the back, all at the same time, because there was no craft, it was just the lights. But we didn't know what we were looking at, so they were all mingled up, as it were, and just looked like an amazing mass of lights. So as we drove towards them, our attention was fully on the lights, and then the craft materialised. Now, when we drew pictures, my wife drew three red dots in a perfect equilateral triangle. There's no way she could have seen that from the angle that we was at, the aspect ratio. You would not see three red lights in a perfect triangle. You would not be able to define it because you've got the white one in the middle and the four red ones at the back, all mixed up at the same time as we approached it. And I've wondered over the years whether, as we jumped out of the car and we saw this large football pitch size craft going away with four red lights at the back again, the sort of direction it was going, trajectory, could have brought it over the car as we were looking at the small craft. And what my wife possibly seen was the underneath of the large triangle, not the small triangle in the field. Because, like I said, there's no way we could have drawn three red lights in an equilateral triangle, not from where we were sitting. So that was something to bear in mind. But I do believe they were waiting for us. I mean, nobody else was involved. No, the car seeing it. And they weren't hiding from us, quite the opposite. They were making pretty damn sure that we'd seen them. You know, they were there. Another strange thing is, you know, you all talk about the Oz effect, but the next day, when I went back to measure the distance from where we turned on the Fox Way to where the lights were, when I retraced the route, I thought I found it impossible to be able to see what we'd seen because there was like trees in the way and hedges and things. But we'd seen it as we turned the corner, it was there. We could see it quite clearly. Now, a couple of weeks later, my wife had been to pick a friend up from the airport and she drove her back along the Foss Way to show her where we'd seen the lights. And she came home and she said the same to me. She said, you know, I've just took Ruby along the Foss Way, but I don't see how we could have seen the lights from where we were because of the trees and edges when we turned the corner.
Let's turn that corner in our next segment, shall we? And this one case, really fascinating, with Colin, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.